Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Second Act Actors. I'm your host, Dr. Janet McMorty, and I'm still a medical doctor, simultaneously trying to pursue a career in acting. My guest this week is Krista Barzo. Krista is an actor, producer, and insurance agent, and oof, we have such a juicy conversation. She has a science background, and y'all know how much I love my science people. It makes my brain tingle when I get to talk to other artists who also love science. Oh, it's just absolutely fabulous. Please enjoy the incredible Krista Barzo. Story. How did you get into the acting biz?
I never know how to answer this question because, like, I feel like everyone has this, like, the moment I discovered I wanted to be an actor. And I feel like I was just born like that. Like, it's just always been a thing that I have enjoyed doing and wanted to do more of. Like, I was always like the first kid on stage. Like, I just have always loved it. So it's been more of an exploration about like the best way to include it in my life rather than like getting started in it per se. That being said, I think like I was raised very much where, like, you know, acting's a hobby, acting's not a job. So go get your real degree and your real job and do all of that. And it wasn't until like when I graduated university and that I sort of started considering it to be a serious thing, because I'd sort of had the expectation that once I graduated university, I had to go and get my real job and like put aside like childish hobbies was sort of the way I was raised. And it made me depressed, but yeah. I was like, this is the way life is. And then I was on a flight and a random stranger on the plane beside me was a filmmaker, producer, director. And we were talking about it. And he's like, you know, when you graduate, you can always just go back to it. And I was like, what? I can do that. I don't have to give it up. So, you know, I went home and was like, okay, I graduated. Now I'm going to do what I want to do. And my parents were thrilled. but I have the Bachelor of Science. We got the, you know, real degree.
Yeah, the expensive wallpaper.
Yeah.
Yeah. What did you do your degree in?
Yeah.
I have a degree in science and business with a specialization in biology.
Cool.
Yeah.
So it's interesting because I relate to that so much because in high school and elementary school, I was the performer, but also a scientist because I loved the science and I did science till I was in my 30s. Was that you as well too? Like what pushed you into biology?
I love biology. I do. I find it fascinating. There was a period of my life where I was going to be a marine biologist. Like I love learning about how the way the world works and more for me, it's more the like macro side of it, like microbiology is cool and everything, but how populations interact with each other, how different animal species have different political hierarchies, like within their little groups and how they interact with each other and how those populations affect others, like that kind of thing. It's just really, really fascinating how different animals have evolved to live in different climates, especially like when you get into like marine biology is still a very I can geek out on that for a while. And like it's just because life started in the ocean, it's had more time in the ocean, so something has evolved to make use of like every square centimeter of that. Like, oh, there's no light or air down here, fantastic, we'll just completely change ourselves so that we don't need it. And like just the way that life has found a way to exist in these intense environments, I find just really, really fascinating. So yeah, I've always had like the science brain, the the actor brain, you know, whenever you do those surveys or personality tests or whatever, I usually get back and answer something along the lines of, are you sure? That's usually the result I get. less than 2% of the people have a brain like this. Are you sure? And I'm like, yes, I am very logical and analytical and also artistic. And you're just going to have to deal with it.
It's so funny you say that because, oh, God, I could wax poetic up on my soapbox here about how I think especially in like, and I'm going to make an assumption that we're pretty close in vintage about how there just was never, there was like, you go science or you go arts. And yeah. Never the two shall meet in the world, but also in these personality tests. And oh, God, I did so many of those growing up because I was like, what do I want to do with my life and who am I? That's so interesting.
The first one of those I did in high school where it's like, you know, what career should you have? It told me I should be a tattoo artist. Allow me to clarify, when I say I have an artistic mind, I cannot draw. I would be sued so badly because it asked if you like to draw. And I was like, sure.
Yeah.
It didn't ask, are you good at drawing? Like, do you have skill in this area? Do you wish to improve on said skill? I was like, I am. And then I think it was like surfboard designer. I'm like, I'm going to say no to both of those choices.
What is this career and personal planning quiz? That is a riot.
That it was the most absurd answers. Most of them are generally pretty accurate. It's just like they tend to have some kind of disclaimer. Like most people aren't this. I'm like, I know. I get it.
Oh, that's funny. Mine said news reporter.
I could see that actually.
Me too. And it's funny when I think about, you know, especially in the time when I was doing my like pivot, my shift, my addition of creativity back into my life. I had that, you know, memory of, oh, yeah, that quiz I did that we all do about what should I do with my life? And it said news reporter. I'm like, huh, it is there, that creativity.
Mm-hmm.
So question for you. So you do your degree in science.
Mm-hmm.
And almost out of like spite, but also a genuine curiosity, of course.
Mm-hmm.
What happened after? What was life afterwards? Did you seek out job opportunities in your career, in your degree path, or what happened?
So the program that I did, because it's not a dual major, it's a joint major. They designed that program very specifically to kind of create the next generation of business professionals in scientific companies. That's sort of like it's a kind of a niche thing. So you learn a lot about like the patent cycles for pharmaceuticals and like just the business side of science, as well as, I mean, like there's pure science classes in there as well and pure business classes, but they have specific courses to actually marry the two. So for a while I was looking into, you know, pharma reps and like that kind of thing. And like, what are some science companies, you know, companies that create equipment for hospitals and like working on the business side of those kinds of companies. So I was looking into that for a while. I realized as I was getting close to the end of my degree, I definitely didn't want to be in a lab. Like it's interesting to a point, but I didn't want my life to be in a lab because again, I'm not micro focused. So I knew I wanted to do something big, like bigger scale, kind of like out of the lab. So I was looking into that. And then that was around the time when I kind of had that conversation on the airplane. And I was like, interesting. So I ended up, I work in insurance. I'm helping with like health and dental plans for companies and helping them put those in place. And it actually uses that science side quite a bit, like knowing about, you know, the patent cycle for pharmaceuticals and different ways that treatments happen. And my little passion project is trying to educate people about pharmacogenetics because it's a really awesome new thing that they can do. But it's something that it's a difficult concept to grasp. Like, what is this and how can it help and why should I care and why would I pay for this? And like just sort of the real life impact of these business decisions on people's medical outcomes. It's kind of an interesting little dynamic.
Yeah. So you're doing insurance, you have this side project, passion project, and then also you've incorporated, you are an actor, you're a filmmaker, you are a like action stunt performer. How do you balance all of these things?
I would love to say that I balance it all the time.
Me too. Yeah.
It doesn't. I go through phases of slowness, which are few and far between. I try to cherish them when they come. And I'm often too busy trying to find more time to incorporate and prioritize rest is a big thing. But it's also just, I mean, all of the things that I do, I'm passionate about. And so I make time for them, you know, and I try to find ways. And sometimes that, like, it's never, when you're thinking of balance, it's never balancing all of the things all of the time. That would be just maddening. It's more okay, right now I'm doing a film, so we're doing that and we're focusing on that and we're whatever's required in that and we're going to do that. And then that gets finished and now, okay, what are we, now I'm going to shift my focus over here a little bit and then focus on this a little bit more. And then, oh, a class has come up, so I'm going to, you know, study that. So it's, you know, the day job has to be there all the time. But then, you know, in terms of how you're spending your hours, you know, if there's a performance, then I'm not doing a ton of the other stuff. Like if I'm in rehearsals and performing and on set, then that's the focus. I like having different facets of it because, you know, when you're an actor and you want to have your creative outlet, it's one of the art forms where you need other people to do it. Like you can't, and everyone's like, oh, you can do a monologue in your room. Listen, it's not the same. There's value to that. I'm not saying there isn't, but it's also not the same. So having different facets when you're in a period in between performance opportunities, you have to find a way to still fulfill your creative need and to still be able to grow as an artist and, you know, support getting more acting opportunities by doing other things. So when you're in between, like, okay, let me do some training to become a better stunt performer and let me, or I should say action performer. Stunts and action are very different and I'm much more on the action side rather than the stunt side. But, you know, I've even trained a little in that, like just to kind of, you know, what is this world? And because for me, it's partially about becoming a better performer myself, but also becoming a better teammate. You know, if you're in a situation where you're in a scene and there is a, you know, you have a stunt double for something, understanding what they're going through and what they're being asked to do. And you're basically handing your character to them. They're taking your character through this intense moment. You have to know how to pick that back up after what just happened to me. So having some training in that makes me a better teammate so that we can have that character believably go through whatever experience that they need to go through. And also, you know, you can speak up on behalf of your stunt double and perhaps request that your character wear sleeves in that moment, if possible, because pads are lovely. If you've ever had to fall 52 times in the exact same place, you will know how lovely those pads are. So you can like, you know, I think my character would wear a sweatshirt in this moment. If that's available to you, actors of the world, give your stunt people sleeves if you can, or just something they can move in at least. But it, you know, stuff happens, but it's just about understanding that and like, or I'm, you know, COVID hit. And that's when I was like, I've always wanted to make a movie. We're going to do that now because we're not performing. We can shift to this. So like the more facets you have, like the more I can keep acting in my life, even when I'm not being an actor.
Well, I think that that touches on something that I totally agree with, that I've really tried to do as well, too, that makes sense to me as somebody who didn't go to film school, right? When, so like two things struck out in my mind about what you were just saying that are just so key, I think, and so important. The first being understanding what everyone does on a set, including the stunt performer, especially the stunt performer. And I think, you know, having an idea of what they do, it doesn't have to be like, I'm going to go learn how to be a director. No, but just understand what a first AD is, who this costume person is. I mean, we don't get taught that. Like you said, you did a biology degree, I did kin. Like, how are we supposed to know that? We need to seek out opportunities to learn about that.
Yeah.
But my question for you is, because we didn't come from a theater acting community that is given to theater school graduates, right? You build your community there, or you hope you do. How did you find your community, or how are you building community around you to make the projects that you're part of?
It's all networking. You know, when you come out, and I think, you know, people coming out of a formal schooling program, like, yes, they do have somewhat of a community, but if you're not continuing to network and continuing to grow, that community will disappear pretty quickly. You know, you need to kind of seek out the like-minded people that you know you work well with. It just kind of happens over time. You know, when you're on set, when you have the opportunity, and when you're starting, like, any opportunity to get on set, even if it's just background. Background is kind of cool because you can literally just sit there drinking a coffee in the back corner as a person in coffee shop and just watch. You know, I see a lot of people and they kind of zone out when they're there because it's a long day. But if you've never been on a set before or you have only been on a few, like, watch what's happening. Watch who's going where, who's holding stuff up, what are mistakes that were made that could be avoided. Is there anything that you can change about how you prepared for next time to make you a better member on set? Because it's a very interesting little community and everybody has their job and everybody kind of has to know there's a rhythm and a flow to the day. And I heard there was an article I read, like, when I was just getting started, where they're like, at some, it's a lot of waiting around, but at some point the spotlight is going to turn on you and the whole day will come to a halt if you're not ready. So you need to know, what is my job? What am I here to do? And your goal is to never be the one that halts production. At some point, like, if your costumes, people are going to be like, where's that t-shirt? And everyone will stop and look at you. And if you don't have it right here, they're going to, like, people get stressed because every minute on set is so expensive.
Yeah.
So you need to know, like, where is the flow? What's coming up next? What can I prepare now that it's going to be needed in 2 hours? Like, you have to be able to kind of do that. So if you're just on set and not really a key player, you can just kind of sit back and watch. That's a phenomenal learning opportunity. And you can meet people and you can talk to people and you can see, like, oh, like, this person seems like a great person to work with. And then you slowly grow your community that way, because you're like, you know what, there were projects I worked on that were terrible. They were horrible, not even just because of the outcome, but just the environment is toxic. Like, it happens, unfortunately. That's also a learning opportunity. You know, if I'm ever in charge of a set, I know what to avoid to not create that environment, because it's very hard to create in that space. But coming out of it, you know, there's one or two people where I'm like, you're coming with me. You're now part of my crew. And, you know, you trauma bond a little and like, come out the other side and you're like, okay, you know, if we can work well together in that, then we're going to do great things in, like, an actual fun environment. So let's keep in touch. And you just grow and keep in touch, you know, reach out to people and talk to them and find out what they're working on and cheer them on when you can, when they're doing stuff. And you just slowly grow your contacts. And also, I would say, focus both in front of and behind the camera. A lot of actors only network with other actors. You can't make a movie that way. You need people behind the camera. So, like, talk to everybody, learn all the roles, what's happening, who's doing what. You slowly grow over time.
It'll grow. Yeah. And I think especially, and I harp on this so much, and I know I harp on this so much, but especially in such a small industry like Canada, like Ontario, where we need each other to build up this baby industry that we're trying to build, right? And if we aren't, if you aren't a decent human being, people will hear about it and know about it, but also those are the people who I'm not going to pull and say, please come with me on this adventure, right? Yeah. Forever. So yeah, I think that's so important. And I think that's where, and I know a lot of us who have gotten into this a bit later on in life feel like we're behind the train, we're trying to catch up. But I think that like the life experience and stuff like that, I think gave, at least for me, and I wonder what your thoughts are on this, gave me that bit of a, like my bullshit meter is very, very attuned. So yeah. When I pluck people, I'm like, ooh, I like you, let's hang out. I know I'm not getting scammed, for lack of a better word.
One of the hardest things to learn, because I'm in life like a pretty good judge of character, like you know when you're being lied to. The problem in our industry is that people aren't necessarily intentionally lying. They have great dreams and they're telling you about them. And they're genuine. Oh, yeah. And they honestly want, you know, they'll be like, I'm going to make you like the lead in my movie. And my movie's going to go to this. And we're going to be in this festival. And it's going to be amazing. And it's so genuine because they honestly want that so badly that for them it is in fact real. Mm. But there's a lot of luck in these things. But there's an even bigger component of work ethic. And so learning not just who has the dream. Everybody in this industry has the dream. Who has the work ethic to back it up and to actually give it the best shot to go forward. You know, there's so many times where people, they talk such a big game and you're like, okay, you know, I haven't seen you in 6 months. What have you done on the project since then? And they're like, oh, well, you know, nothing, but it's still, I'm hoping it's going to blow up. Like, well, you can't, hope isn't enough. You have to, you know, so you have to figure out. That was a harder lesson for me to learn, was it's not just who's lying, but like sometimes you're just having a dream session and you have to leave it at that. Because if I get involved in a project, I don't know how to half-ass things. It's not in my nature. So if I'm in, I am all in and I will give everything I have and work my butt off and throw my work-life balance out of whack and lose sleep. And like I put everything into it. So learning the projects that are worth that from me, like when I'm with a team, that's because you can't, one person can't push the project through. And I have seen so many projects just entirely disintegrate because of either lack of work ethic or toxic personalities or a combination of both. And like you have to kind of figure out which ones are those and just let them go. And then pour yourself into something where everybody's as invested as you are, because that's what it takes to get it anywhere.
I have a quick question for you about that. So I had a conversation with a producer friend of mine who had recorded our episode. Her name is Trish Rainoni. She's up in the Sioux.
I've spoken with her before.
She's amazing, right? Like she's just incredible. And we had this conversation, and she was this was when she was fairly new into producing. And she said to me, okay, so as an actor, Janet, so as an actor, Krista, would you rather know that you are being considered for a role in like a film that I'm producing? Would you rather I tell you? And because there's so much, like you're saying, there's so much luck involved, this film may never get made because of grant applications and all this stuff, especially where I am up in the north. But would you rather I tell you? And that never happen? Or would you rather I just not say until it's confirmed that it's happening? Like, what feels better to you as an actor?
I would rather know.
Me too.
I think it depends where you are in your career. Like, when you're just starting, I think you have to learn not just the flow of a set, but the flow of the industry and how it works. So when you're just starting, I think it's really easy to take everything personally. So, you know, oh, we were going to do this film, but it's not happening. It's like, oh, like, is it because they didn't like me as the lead? And so like the funding didn't come through. Like it's really, and it's just, you get all, because you have no other projects, all of your hopes and dreams are on every project you get. So it's a little disproportionate. So I feel like that I might've had a different answer perhaps at that time. But at this point, you know, I've had projects, there are other projects in the works. So it's not any one project isn't the thing that's going to make or break my career. Mm. But I think it's so nice to know, you know, if you're seriously being considered and or like if it's a hey, like if this project goes ahead, like you are my person. That's great to know because we throw out our auditions into the ether and we very rarely get feedback. You know, you get the part or you get nothing. So to get that kind of feedback, like, hey, I've seen your work. I like your work. I think you're perfect for this part and would be an asset to the film. That's very validating. You know, like, oh my gosh, okay, so you would back me. Whether or not the film gets the funding is completely out of their control, is completely out of our control. Like, so many projects don't actually happen. But to know that somebody in the position of who's making films and evaluating actors on the regular saw your art and your work and was like, yes, like, that's a nice thing to hear.
Yeah, I totally agree with you.
It would be better if it happened.
Well, obviously, yes, totally. But yeah, I agree. And again, I think because there's so little control. Well, there's no control that we have in this industry. So to hear some little spark of not so much hope that this production will happen, but just a feeling of, oh, I'm allowed to be here. I'm allowed to be in this space. There's no good badge of honor or degree or you've now reached the top of the levels of quote acting to know that now you are an actor. Yeah. And it's just nice to hear that sometimes, especially from a logical brained person like myself, who's okay, so for me, success was a 90%+ on a multiple choice test. That doesn't exist in our world. So something like that, I find just really affirming.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. Mm-hmm. And it's happened to me before. Like, you got the part. Nothing.
Radio silence. Yeah.
So we're not filming next month then? And they're like, oh no, the funding didn't come through. And you're like,
oh geez.
Like, it, that does happen. But it's still nice to know, from anything that was in my control, I did my job. I got the part.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I didn't get to do the part, but I got it.
You got it. Yes.
You know, I don't think there's anything bad in that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you notice any similarities between the degree program that you were in and your love of biology, evolution, species, marine biology, everything like that, and now your creative life? Any similarities or anything you've pulled from that time in more of the science world that now in the creative world has been helpful?
Oh, yeah. And on the business world as well. I actually, at a previous job, they had me do a presentation on how acting skills can help you in business. And it's very applicable. You know, a lot of people kind of see where I'm at and they're like, how could you live such completely separate lives? I'm like, they're not that separate. You know, as an actor, you study people and you learn to read body language and to read energy and to control your own reactions to that energy. That is essential in business and in science. Because again, in my specific program, it's basically training people to be the intermediaries between the business side of a company and the scientists. So the scientists are creating their babies in whatever that company produces, and the business people are telling them that they have fiscal limits and have marketing targets that they have to. So to be able to manage those expectations and speak the two languages and balance egos and all of that stuff is very related to what we do as actors. And life on set is very balancing egos and managing timelines, and all of that is applicable. And you often, in whatever, maybe not often, I guess, depending on your career, but in business specifically and occasionally in science, you have to do public speaking. And guess what? acting is great training for that. You know, I know I have coworkers who like, that's their worst nightmare. I'm like, are you kidding me? You're giving me a captive audience? Bring it on.
These people have to listen to me?
Awesome. Yeah. Also, they know I'm going to rant about like some weird science niche market for an hour and they're still coming. Come on. Here we go.
I love it. This is why I love my medical practice, because my patients like come in and I'm like, oh, hi. You're not allowed to leave till I rant for a while.
Yeah.
Captive audience.
Here we go.
I love that. Yeah, here we go. Do you have any advice for anyone who is interested in pursuing more of a creative career like acting, who maybe has just had their airplane moment?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. This also kind of still ties into the previous question as well, which is that, you know, sort of mentioned how how acting can benefit like a business career. But when you're becoming an actor, you also need business skills. This is something that I think a lot of people don't consider. They're like, oh, you know, I don't want to work in business, so I'm going to become an actor. The thing is, the second you do that, you have just started a business. Congratulations. You are an entrepreneur. You sell acting services of you. You have a product that is you. You need to know how to market your product, how to create a business relationship, business reputation. You have to learn about taxes and how to do deductions and how to create and run a website and all of that. How to hire staff. You know, if you're looking for headshots, you need to be able to evaluate and hire your headshot artist and, you know, plan events. And all of this kind of stuff is part of being an actor. It's not just what you do in acting class and on screen. You've also started a business. So having any kind of business training, like a business class 101, will actually help you greatly in your acting career as well. And I highly recommend it, because I see so many people who haven't realized that, just shooting themselves in the foot. They don't conduct themselves professionally. They don't see it as a job. They see like they get hired after they get the job and then they'll be professional. Like, you aren't going to get the job unless you are already professional. Because again, every minute on set is so expensive, and they need to know that they are hiring people who understand, who get it, who will show up, do what they need to do. When the spotlight shines on them and it's their turn, they will have their shit together. And if you are late, if you constantly no-show, if you aren't prepared, if you haven't read through the sides, if you don't know what's going on, they're gonna be like, okay, this person isn't ready.
Yeah.
So you need to know, like, when you are networking, when you're meeting with people, they're evaluating whether or not they want to risk their reputation hiring you. That's an important lesson to learn.
Absolutely. And I think the biggest thing that, and I want to know your answer to this question as well too, the biggest thing that surprised me were just how many people there are waiting in the wings, how many actors there are who can, even though we're all precious, beautiful snowflakes, replace me.
Oh, yeah.
Like, instantaneously. And, like, kind of what you were saying at the very top, and I can't remember if we had pressed record, but about, like, the sound quality, right, of things like self-tapes. Like, anything that you've done to make the casting director say, nah, is, like, nothing to them, because there's 100 other tapes that they're going to look at and be oh, her sound quality's better and she looks like a better person to work with. See ya.
Well, and that's the thing, is like, they'll never tell you that in the room. Ugh. You just won't get hired. Again, there's no feedback. Yes. It's just you didn't get the job. So you don't know if it was just they decided they were going for a brunette and I'm not. Oops. Mm-hmm. Or no, I have no desire to work with that person. And the thing is, like, again, as you mentioned earlier, it's a small industry. It feels big, but the number of people who are around 3-5 years later is very mm-hmm. small. A lot of people yes. kind of come in for 6 months and then they give up, and then they're like, they come in and they come out, and they're just kind of doing it as a hobby. So they're kind of on the periphery, but like the people who are here and trying to make this like a permanent part of their life, it's a small group and you see the same people over and over and over again. So if people work with you and don't like it for whatever reason, you're difficult to work with, you're a diva, you're non-hygienic, for the love of God, people, bathe before you come to set. All it takes is somebody in a casting room to be like, hey, Janet, I'm thinking of casting one of these two actors for this part. Have you worked with either of them? And you're like, yeah, I've worked with Joe before. That's all it takes. Joe yes. doesn't get the job. That's yep. it. So like, you don't even know if the person that you're networking is necessarily the one that is going to be making the decisions or not. But if they don't like you and they know somebody who's hiring, like, you need to be careful about burning bridges, and you need to always bring your A game because you never know. But if somebody in that same conversation, if you're like, yeah, I've worked with Joe, he is always on time, he's so professional, so passionate, loved working with him, I'm going to be like, okay. Because once again, big risk, you know, you're putting your professional reputation and the product of all of this hard work on the line every time you make these decisions.
Yes.
So if I know that I know somebody who can vouch for this person's professionalism, it could be 2 years ago that you worked with him, but if you're like, yeah, 100%, mm-hmm. he's on it, I'm gonna be like, okay. All other things being equal, that can sway the decision. Or if it's like, mm-hmm. yeah, he was like, he's always late.
Yeah.
Done. Mm-hmm. Like, that's
done.
It.
Done. It's it. It's that's it. Right? That's absolutely yeah. it. And it's no skin off their back because they've got, like you said, other people waiting in the wings who will be just, who are just as talented as Joe mm-hmm. is, but are a decent yep. human being. Has there been, so yeah, my question to you, because that was a big surprise for me in the industry, was just how many people there are. What has surprised you about the industry?
What has surprised me about the industry? I would say just like how many different ways there are to be involved in it. You know, I started as an actor. That's my main jam. But the longer I've been in it, it's like, okay, well, you know, again, when COVID hit, I'm like, I'm going to write something that I really enjoy writing. I'm going to produce something. Turns out I quite enjoy producing as well, and have done it on a few other small projects. And, you know, now I want to try directing something. And like, there's other ways beyond just maybe I'll learn some stunts. Starting to learn a little bit about intimacy direction. Just like, there's so many people on set. When you look around and you're like, oh, like, there are all of these people. They don't hire anybody who isn't necessary because of cost. So everybody who's there, and it can sometimes feel like a lot, especially if it's a really small scene and you have like one or two actors, and then there's like 40 people behind the scenes or more, running the shoot, and you're like, okay, like, what are each of them doing? There can be, you can discover things about yourself, like, what is that person doing with the lights? Like, does that seem interesting? Is that another thing that maybe I'd like to learn about? Or like, makeup seems really interesting. I wonder if I would like to do that as well. Like, there's ways to be on set more often through different roles. And, you know, there's just this infinite number of ways to participate and to uncover different sides of yourself and find new ways to be a creative participant in the whole circus, you know?
I love that. And that's, I love that quote of yours that you just said, like, everyone who's hired on a film set is necessary. And I think that's such a, well, we as actors tend to be narcissists and tend to be like, we are the center of this circus. We are in the middle. All eyes on me. And then when you get to set, especially if you're new, and you realize, oh, literally no one cares about me unless I'm not doing my job, because I'm keeping them from the beer that they want to have after work. And it can be these like this huge Grammy, Academy Award nominated scene that you're just so proud of. But then you look over in the corner and like someone's like, can they just hurry up? It's almost like we're supposed to be on a break 20 minutes ago. You're
yeah.
Like, oh, I am not that important. Slow your freaking roll. Do your job.
Yeah, 100%. It's one of the unfortunate things I find, like both in theater and film. There's often a bit of a actors versus crew kind of vibe. In some cases worse than others. But I'm always like, so, okay, neither of us can actually do our jobs without the other, though.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's if it's without the crew, then the actors are just like improvising in a living room. And if the crew's there and there's no actors, like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
You just have a really well-lit couch. Like,
real expensive, well-lit couch.
Again, like, nobody's there that isn't necessary. We all need each other in order to create this art. That's what, like, what I was saying at the beginning. Like, you can't do it alone.
Yeah.
You need other people to do it. So being able to work together is essential. But, you know, I think it's also partially because I think one side, like, you know how hard you're working on set. And it can look like the other side isn't doing anything. Like the crew could be sitting down, not doing anything because the spotlight's not on them right now. So they've learned that this is their moment when they can rest. Cause it's a long day. You need to know when you can rest. It's about, that's part of knowing your rhythm. But an actor might see that and be like, oh, like they're just getting paid to like not do anything. You're like, you have no idea what they did. If you as an actor have a long 12-hour day, guaranteed the crew has had a 14 to 16-hour day because they have to get there and light everything before you even show up and they've got to tear everything down after you get to go home. So if they're resting in the middle, it's because everything's already set up. Relax. But also, I think then they'll see like actors just sitting there not doing anything, even though you might be doing all of your internal work. You know, you're running the lines in your head. You're getting yourself emotionally prepared to go to a deep place. That takes something. And you can't do that if you're running around, you know, moving oranges from table to table. You have to take your time to do that. That's why you've been hired. So it might not look externally like you're doing much, but you are doing it. So I think there can be a little bit of that animosity, but it's so unnecessary. And I think if we all just had a bit of appreciation for the craft that everybody's bringing, like if you watch, there was this a short film I was on, and it was this like absurd kind of dark horror comedy thing. So it's, you know, we're all at dinner and then everybody ingests something questionable and then like it gets very absurd and horror induced. So like we had a normal dining room and then we all went to lunch and the lighting team relit for the other environment. It was nuts. Like we went from like normal Thanksgiving kind of feel like dining table. When we walked back in after lunch, like it was creepy in there. Nothing moved. Everything was the same. The lights changed. That's it. It was like the vibe, the essence, like it just immediately you're like, oh, God, something is about to happen. That is why they're there. That is their craft. Like we have everybody on set has a skill level to be able to bring these scenes to life. And, you know, instead of trying to criticize because you don't understand somebody's role, like try to appreciate the skills that they have that you don't understand. I do not know how they did that. But I'm glad they did. Like watching people at work is amazing. You're like, whoa, there's so much. Sorry, my eye, like I got something in my eye while we're talking. So no, I'm not crying. I'm just so passionate about this.
But I think.
But it's so cool.
It's so cool. And I think that's what I know was a part of what was missing in my first act. And now what I was so drawn to about this industry of creatives are people who are so passionate about their craft and all. And of course, there's going to be animosities. There's animosities in every single hierarchical structure, right? whether it's real or perceived. But when people come together who are all with the same goal of putting a great project out into the world, I just think of some of the like small, subtle little details on some of the projects I've been in. The lighting. I got to be involved with Star Trek and the costuming, where there's these little details that literally no one would notice, but the costume designer knows they're there because that is them being like, ugh. Right?
Props.
Or I think about props. Like, I think about like the Harry Potter film series. There's like subtle little details in like fences around Hogwarts that no one would notice unless you paused and pointed it out. But that is love of craft. When you're like, no one's going to even, and some of the acting processes are not visible to the eye. But when you have this passion and you bring it forward, whether anyone notices it or not, all those people coming together into one big amazing project, like that is so rare in this world and just so like, I crave it. And it, I, again, it's nerding out, right? Mm-hmm. Over everything. It's so cool. So
when you
cool.
do get everybody aligned and like creating a moment together.
It's just, there's no words of that feeling. There's no words.
It's you're like, yes, that's, that's it right there.
That's it. Totally. Yeah. So you mentioned that neat short film that you're on with the lighting, but do you have any other favorite moments on set?
Oh my God, so many. Like my short film was a more recent one, and that was incredible. It was a lot. Once again, there's a reason there's so many people. Typically, don't do it all by yourself. It's a lot. But I had, you know, I knew I was going to be filming in COVID, so it was created to be filmed in COVID. We had one location. We had I wrote it with as few people as I could possibly write it with. You know, it was this challenge trying to figure out what crew to have to make it as small as possible for COVID reasons. But again, like there's a reason for each of those roles. So like if we don't have a person to do it, then someone else has to take on those responsibilities as well. Is that too much on one day? We were only filming on one day because I did not have the budget to have everybody go away and come back and risk somebody getting COVID. Like just not possible. So we did one day. So we had to have enough people that we could get everything done in one day, but not so many that we were like balanced. That was in like the heat of like we were in lockdowns and all of that. So that was a challenge. But when we were there, I was concerned because it was a night shoot that, you know, energies would drop as we got, you know, when you're filming at 2, 3 a.m., trying to pretend that it's 6 p.m., like, are we all going to be kind of like dozy? But it just, that didn't happen at all. If somebody told me it was 3, I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, I am, you're just like on a high. Like, it was such a, everybody like knew their role ahead of time, like came in, everybody was on it. Everybody did such a great job. Like, they were doing their, you know, you hire people who have the skills so they can do their thing. And everybody was doing their thing. And it just like, it was such a wonderful little bubble of like chaos and creativity and just exceptional people creating together. And like, we ended up wrapping a little bit early, which like doesn't happen ever. But because everybody was just like, it was just, you know, on. And I just loved that whole day. Could not have gone better. You know, it was just one of those magic moments. I think we got all of our hiccups out of the way in pre-production. we got delayed because of COVID protocols and expenses and budget reasons and all of that. So on the day, it was just phenomenal, like getting to kind of work with everybody and finally, again, because this was my COVID baby, But like I wrote it and like did so much work for all those months, and like to be there on the day, like it's alive. My baby is alive right now. It's happening. It's being created. It's no longer a piece of paper. It's a thing. That was just incredible.
Well, and I think it just goes back to what you were saying about so often are so many people with dreams and they don't do for whatever reason, not chastising, not criticizing. But here is something that you had a dream and you freaking did it. You made it come alive. Like, that is so rare and huge.
It was so awesome. Fast, too. We had a lot. I did a whole crowdfunding campaign as well. And a lot of my amazing backers are not at all in the industry. So I had a lot of them. Like, to put it in perspective for anybody watching, but I started writing in January of that year. We filmed in August. And it was completed post-production by the following May. So like, this is a tight timeline for non-industry people. Like, this is fast. But I had a lot of my backers, like, we filmed in August, and like in September they're like, so when do I get to see it? I'm like, oh, not yet. Like, not yet. I'm terribly sorry. Believe it or not, I'm like, this is all happening very fast. I'll let you know. Like, it's we've got at least 6 months left. I'm pushing it through as fast as I can. Could it have been faster if I had double the budget? Absolutely. But when you're low budget, you have to work with people's timelines. So there's a bit of a delay there. But even still, even as it was, that's a very quick turnaround. Like, on set, someone was asking me, like, oh, like, when did you start writing this? Because normally the answer is like 4 or 5 years ago. And now we're on set. So even just that part was very quick.
Well, I think like people don't understand that when you're not in the industry, right? And I didn't understand it really either, right? We all know what it's like to wait for footage for a reel and stuff, and it just how much time. And I think it's funny, I didn't really realize it until I talked to Kim Herden from KH Casting, who casts a lot of video games, and how, like, well, yeah, film and television, it's years. Video games, it's like decades. It's just there's so, because again, what the vein of this whole conversation has been, there's so many other things involved in putting a production together besides just the sexy time that is filming it.
Yeah.
Right? That's the cool part that has flair and style and BTS photos and stuff, right? Mm-hmm. There's so much more to it that I think, again, I think that's also why what you were talking about, again, how many people get into this and do it for like 6 months. But the people who are still around are the ones kind of, you know, just keep outlasting everybody. It's because they get into the industry and then that's the realization. They're like, oh, there is so much more involved here.
Yeah. So much. And that's more. Either a good realization or a bad one.
Yes, totally.
Like, you're so, either like, ooh, there's yeah, so much oh, the, more work to do.
I can learn or you're like, so oh, much.
Yeah. There's so much more work to do.
I don't want to do this. I just want to sit home and watch some Netflix. Yeah. I just want to consume the media. I don't want to make the media.
Yeah, which is fair.
Totally.
Yeah.
So you mentioned the very beginning about how your family said, practical job, please. Get the practical degree. Mm-hmm. How would they describe, they being your family, caregivers, whoever, how would they describe what you do for a living now?
I think they just tell people I'm in insurance.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Just
my dad's, I think, sees it as almost like an illness. He said to me one time, he's just like, I just wish you didn't have this dream. Your life would be so much happier.
Oh, like, gosh.
Maybe. But I know I've gone through periods of my life where I tried not to have it in my life and I was miserable. So,
yeah.
Another version of me in another multiverse reality, maybe, but not this one.
Yeah, that's a really interesting comment. And I have, you know, like my gut instinct is like, sure, rude. But then because I've heard very similar things, right? And you're like, yeah, I think you're probably right. you know? And I remember talking to somebody about, you know, going to therapy and having all these thoughts and having all these dreams and being like, man, sometimes I wish I was just a simple person who I could just, you know, go to work every day, go home, watch TV, and just sit there and just be like,
I have so much more free time.
Kind of content. Oh my gosh. And I have friends who are like that. And I'm like, oh my goodness. And like, and it's funny because they are usually very logically brained people who are like, no, I go to work and I come home and everything's great. I'm like, God, that would be nice. But like my brain, no, it doesn't fit in one of those two stupid personality quiz boxes.
Yeah.
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 Do you have anything you are looking forward to coming up?
So many things. Again, anytime you get to actually do the craft is very exciting. And I'm looking forward to my next non-actor challenge, which is turning Persistence into a feature-length film.
Cool.
So
that's awesome.
Working on the longer screenplay goodness. Which I'm sure will take a while. But yeah, we're gonna make it a feature.
Can people view the short film, your short film?
Not yet, because we're still in our film festival circuit.
Yes.
We do, if you follow us on Instagram, is Persistence Short Film is our handle. On Facebook, we're just Persistence Short. But we announce, like, any film festival that we get into, we announce there was an online screening a little while ago, but most of them are in person for now. And then early next year, I think once, we're still waiting to hear back from a bunch, and a lot of them are in the fall. So we'll have to wait until we kind of hear from those, because you can't make it publicly available while you're screening in festivals. So early next year, once that's kind of done, then we'll be looking for getting into distribution and like where people can see it. But if you follow us on those two places, then you'll know when and where it's available.
Awesome. I'll put all the links in the show notes below. Do you have any final words of wisdom or advice?
I would just say, when you're following a dream, it doesn't have to be acting, whatever it is. When it's a big dream, a lot of people who love you are going to try to talk you out of it from a place of their own fear and misunderstanding. It's not them trying to be mean. It's them, in their way, trying to protect you. But if that voice inside you, if you know that you would be miserable if you didn't listen to it, you're going to have to just listen to it and find a way to make it work. You can love the people and smile and nod at their advice, but you don't have to take it to heart. You know, if somebody who cares about you is telling you that you should give it up because you'd be happier without it, you're the only one that knows if that's true or not. And if it's not, you know, life is too short to live it anyway but yours. That's what my dad always says. So whenever he gives me helpful advice not to pursue my dream, I remind him of that and he laughs. It's your life, and you are going to be the one sitting on the porch when you're 80, looking back at your life and deciding if you made the right call or not. So you have to make that call. And that can be the scariest part of all of it. But if that's your calling, you can find a way to fit it in your life, and you'll be happier if you do.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. And thank you, Krista, for being my guest this week. Thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy schedule, doing all the badass things you do, to talk to me and talk to my guests as well. I loved hearing your story, and I so appreciate you. I hope you will all tune in next week for another episode of Second Act Actors. Bye.